relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
Fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Joe Biden has had the most disastrous first month president in modern history. That's true. Already the Biden administration has proven that they are anti-jobs, anti-family, anti-borders, anti-energy, anti-women, and anti-science. In just one short month, we have gone from America first to America last. You think about it, right? America last.
A very, very adroit summation of the last 6 weeks. Doesn't matter what the issue is, national security, the economy, COVID, we have gone from America first to America last. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. The president, the boss, is back in a rip-roaring presentation yesterday at the largest conservative gathering of the year. Now, exceptionally in Florida, not here in the swamp, Donald Trump, the 45th president of the United States, took his message, not just to the conservatives, the thousands who were there in the Hyatt Hotel. We'll talk about Hyatt momentarily and what the left is trying to do to them, but also to Joe Biden, his replacement, whether it's being anti-science, anti-women, whether it's anti-borders. Just 6 weeks, almost to the day, just 6 weeks, we have seen a radical, radical change in our direction. But he played. He played them, and he also indicated, rather in a fun fashion, that a Republican will take the White House in 4 years' time. Who could that be, he asked. We'll play you that later. But we're going to listen to your reactions, lots of cuts, and special guests. What does it mean for the conservative movement? Victor Davis Hanson will be with us. Congressman Matt Gaetz, John Solomon of the Just the News Network, and the Daily Caller's Mary Margaret Olihan. Our number here on America First, 833-33-GORKA, G-O-R-K-A. That's 833-334-6752. But let me just say one thing. As we were watching it live with my muse yesterday, and she's not a very emotional person, doesn't wear her heart on her sleeve, a serious lady, About 15, 20 minutes in, maybe 15 minutes in, she just sighed and said, "Isn't it good to have him back?" Why is that? It's not just about the man. It's about what he telegraphs to all Americans. Who was it who said it? Sir Monica Crowley. The weekend after the election in 2016. We were at a conference in Florida, of all places. That would have been a wake if he had lost, but was a celebration. It was David Horowitz's annual gathering. And Monica took the podium. David has an amazing, like 2 days, 3 days of events with, I don't know, 3 dozen speakers. And Monica took the stage, and she's a firebrand. And she explained it so well. Most people misunderstand Donald Trump. And when they looked at candidate Mr. Trump, they tried to put him into an ideological box, tried to force a taxonomy, a label onto him. And what they missed, and why it was therefore impossible for them to understand who he is and what he represents in American politics, was the fact that he never was, and still isn't. Now, this is the remarkable thing. He never was an ideological candidate. He didn't fit into a neat box. You couldn't just force this square peg into a round hole. This is a Republican candidate, remember, who at one of his events, if not more, pranced around the stage waving a gay pride flag. Despite all the Democrat presidents we've had, this is the first one who has a Republican appointed an openly homosexual member to his cabinet, Rick Grenell, ambassador to Berlin and then acting director of national intelligence. So he just didn't fit into an easy mold. He wasn't an ideological candidate, Monica Crowley told us. He was an attitudinal candidate. It wasn't about fitting into somebody else's predetermined prejudice labeling system. It was about his attitude. Not as a billionaire from Manhattan. Wrong, wrong, wrong. That's superficial. That's the last 50 years of his professional career. No, the kid from Queens, the young boy, the young man who would have to go collecting rent from the low-income buildings that his father had built to give individuals that first step up. That's who he is, who he still is. A man who loves this country, who will fight for this country, not just for members of a certain class. He's not going to fight for his fellow quote-unquote politicians because he's not a politician. He wasn't then and he isn't now. This is a man who will fight for America and all that is good about America. That's why the wall matters. That's why jobs matter. That's why a trade war with China was essential to our administration to bring those jobs back. That's why we didn't surrender to ISIS like Obama did and say, sorry, guys, I said they were a JV team, but now, quote unquote, they've become a generational threat. You're just going to have to live with it. No, we come in. Donald Trump, commander-in-chief, unleashes the military, removes those asinine rules of engagement that tied their hands behind their back. And what happened? Within 5 months, the caliphate, the slave markets, the beheadings of ISIS was history. Destroyed. No more caliphate. That's an attitude. That's how America was built. by speaking the truth and fighting for the truth. Monica was right 6 years ago, and she's right today. Donald Trump isn't an ideologue. He wasn't an ideological candidate. He was an ideological president. His was an attitude. And let's just summarize it. It was an American attitude. From the moment he came down those escalators with the beautiful Melania, to the day he put his hand on the Bible as the First Lady held it for him, to when he pulled us out of the Paris, the insane Paris Climate Accords, to the day he decided to send a message to the murderous Assad in Syria, to the day he told the Chinese no more. His attitude was to stand up for all of us, even if you didn't vote for him. That's the remarkable thing. That's who Donald John Trump is. And the boss is back. And it's a very, very good feeling. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Back on YouTube. Can't keep a good man down. Also streaming at our website, sebgorka.com. S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A. Also on Rumble, on Twitter, on Facebook. Whatever counts, we're there. Stay on this channel.
So many wonderful friends, conservatives, and fellow citizens in this room, all across our country, I stand before you today to declare that the incredible journey we begun together, we went through a journey like nobody else. There's never been a journey like it. There's never been a journey so successful. We began it together 4 years ago, and it is far from being over.
We've just started. We began our journey together 4 years ago, and it is far, far from over. That was the 45th President of the United States, Donald John Trump, yesterday at CPAC, and we will have much, much more to share with you later today on America First. But first, we have to go to our regular guest, one of your fan favorites, senior fellow at the Hoover Institution, author of just whatever book you find with VDH on the spine, you should read it, including The Two World Wars and one of my favorites, Who Killed Homer? Professor Victor Davis Hanson, welcome back to America First.
Thank you.
So you have an article we'll talk about, which has a fascinating comparison of the coronavirus to the neutron bomb that as a child of the Cold War that I remember well, this scary munition that was invented or posited. But let's talk about the events of the last 24 hours. Your reaction to the fact that Donald Trump, a man who will go down as the only president or former president to have been tried twice in the Senate for impeachment, is back in the political bloodstream 6 weeks after the inauguration, Professor.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things that have happened since the January 6th Capitol riot in which he received so much criticism. One is that we didn't really have the facts of that riot. We're starting to learn more about the circumstances of how people were injured or died or assembled. And it's a much more complex picture than was presented by the media. And the media, in fact, has made some retractions. Second, Joe Biden is not Joe Biden, good old Joe Biden from Scranton, Pennsylvania. His executive orders mark the most radical first 30 days, I think, in presidential history in the since FDR. And then finally, in a very strange, counterintuitive way, the fact that Donald Trump was deplatformed from Twitter and Facebook, and then Parlay crashed or was taken out by a monopolistic cabal has helped him. It's created a sense of mystery. He's not commenting on every minutia of the news, and he's benefited from all three of those in a trifecta fashion. So it's not surprising that he's polling about 75% of Republicans that would like him to be the not just the nominal, but the official head of the party. The destiny is in his hands, Sebastian. He can either run again. That'll be acrimonious. It'll be controversial. It'll be difficult, but he can do it if he wants. Or he can be the senior kingmaker of the party and oversee the MAGA agenda. And if it's somebody like a DeSantis wants to run, he can both help him but ensure that he's faithful to the tenets of, I guess we call it, MAGAism.
MAGAism. Well, he handsomely won. Every year, CPAC holds its internal straw poll of the thousands of attendees, and he handsomely won that yesterday. I think he was at least 30 points before Ron DeSantis, who was second place, of course, a very popular MAGA-like Trumpian candidate. Your measure, your reaction to yesterday's, I have the speech here, it was a long speech. I watched it, and it was rather substantive. It was measured. It stayed on script for most part of it. How do you compare it to the last 4 years of the Trump presidency?
Well, I think it was a spirited defense of everything he did. It was unapologetic. He has no remorse whatsoever, and he's saying to America, you may not feel you're comfortable in expressing your dissent, but deep down inside, I know you're not happy with everything from this transgendered agenda that emasculates women's sports, to the woke culture, to changes in foreign policy, to clamping down on our economic growth, et cetera, et cetera. So it's an appeal to the inner American, and he's basically saying, I'm going to empower you to be more bold and speak out because I'm not afraid. I think that was his message.
He's senior fellow at the Hoover Institution, V.D. Hansen, on Twitter. Follow him right now and check out all of his works, especially the Second World Wars and Who Killed Homer. Professor Hansen, you used the word MAGAism or Trumpism to describe what the ideology, what the policy platform is. Have the conservatives outside of Donald Trump, the broader conservative movement, done enough of the intellectual heavy lifting in the last 4 years to provide more flesh on the bone? We know what the campaign platform was, build the wall, take China to task in trade, crush ISIS. But beyond that, we haven't really had a substantive philosophy since Goldwater. Is there more work to be done to fill out all the disparate pieces of what MAGAism or Trumpism is?
Well, the reason we haven't is there are a lot of people both that support it and oppose it within the Republican Party that are not comfortable with the recalibration of the Republican Party as a workers' middle-class party in antithesis to a bi-coastal wealthy man's party, which is the Democratic Party. And so they don't quite know how to say, I don't know if they're equipped with it or they don't have the desire to say, we are for the middle class foremost. It's not that we despise or are envious of the rich, as the Democratic boilerplate goes, but our primary emphasis is to get as many people to transcend race or identity politics and be joined by common nationalist, populist, middle class interests. So we haven't really articulated that in a way because so many of the architects that would step forward to do so are uncomfortable with either the expression of it or they don't believe in it. I don't know which it is.
Can they deny, can the establishment or legacy Republican establishment deny it, the populist sentiment? Isn't that a little bit like King Canute? Is that even possible after Brexit, after Bernie Sanders?
Well, I get a lot of inquiries, and where I work, I have debates with people, and I think their argument is, okay, you Trump people, you created a new party, but you're right around 44 to 47% of the popular vote or popular sentiment. So for you to get up to 51%, so you can win outright a national election with Trumpism or Trump, then you need to reach out. And who are you going to reach out to? Are you going to reach out to more minority? And I think that's where we should go, to work poor whites, so-called Latinos, African-Americans that have that shared nationalist populist empathies. Or they're saying, are you going to reach out to the Bush swing voter or the suburbanite And you're going to need one group, and they think that they're the missing tessera in that mosaic. And so they're kind of saying, you don't like us, but until you recalibrate your agenda that would make us feel more comfortable, you're never going to get the missing ingredient that you think you need to win a popular election.
Well, if you look at what's happened across the globe, from Brexit to Modi in India to Trump here in America, it looks pretty undeniable to me. We will continue with Professor Victor Davis Hanson. Follow him at VD Hanson. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. This year marks 20 years since America's darkest day, September the 11th, 2001. And the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. Our nation's heroes, people who are willing to die for you and me, need your help. Join Tunnel to Towers on their mission to do good and help these heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's the letter T, the number 2, and the letter T.org. That's T2T.org. Thank you.
Actually, as you know, they just lost the White House, but it's one of those things. But who knows? Who knows? I may even decide to beat them for a third time, okay? Beat them for a third time.
The president making liberal heads explode yesterday at CPAC. We are back with Victor Davis Hanson, professor of classics, an author extraordinaire. Check out his works, The Case for Trump, and also one I just started this weekend, Why the West Has Won. Professor Hanson, your latest piece in American Greatness, amgreatness.com, has the title, Was COVID-19... a neutron bomb? Of course, COVID had a great role to play in how the elections were run last year. 80 million unbidden mail-in ballots sent out by various authorities. Talk to us about this analogy and remind those who may be a little bit younger than us, what was special about the infamous neutron bomb?
Well, in the 70s and the 80s, there was a lot of outrage when it was released, the information was released. We had a radiation bomb that would create enormous amounts of heat, but not leave a radiation trail or destroy structures. And the idea was that an outnumbered NATO, when they were invaded by Soviet armor, could release these bombs, sear the crews, but not destroy their own towns and infrastructure that they would re-inhabit after victory. And the idea was very controversial because it basically said property was more important than people, et cetera, et cetera. But my point in the article was that the neutron bomb analogy works, that we've lost 600,000 dead. We can disagree on the exact number, but I think it's pretty in that ballpark. And that's more than World War I and World War II put together. But like those wars, we didn't suffer infrastructure damage in the United States. So after those wars, we were in a much more advantageous position than others. And in this case, when this virus is over, and it seems to me it's waning in a way that's not appreciated by the experts,
no,
given the number of people of antibiotics and the geometric rate that we're starting to see people vaccinated. So I would say that a lot of people who have suggested that in mid-April we're going to see a de facto into it, or may not be far off as everybody thinks. But nonetheless, when we do return to normality, our infrastructure, people have been neutroned, and that's tragic. They were killed, but the infrastructure is there, and the ingredients of the Trump recovery are there, and Joe Biden will have not had time enough to derail all of it. And what I'm getting at is also a warning to Republicans. I think with $30 trillion in debt, $2 trillion in annual deficit, there's a lot of funny stimulus money circulating. There's a lot of pent-up demand. People want to buy. They want to buy a car, an appliance. They want to redo their Zoom off, whatever it is. So we should expect that as the virus wanes, there's going to be an economic boom of the likes we haven't seen in a long time. And unfortunately, I'm all for that, of course, but we're going to hear that the Trump virus is over, the Trump lockdown is over, the Trump recession is over, and the Biden vaccination has saved us, and the Biden recovery and the Biden reopening. And that's going to be very problematic because this is not, it won't be sustainable if Biden has his way with regulating and tightening up the economy again and big spending, et cetera, et cetera. But it may be problematic in the midterm, so we should all be aware of that.
Go ahead. We're going to post the article right now. Read it, please, on our Twitter and Facebook pages. In the first line, Professor, you use the phrase neo-socialist to describe these policies coming out of the Biden administration. I've been struggling for so long. As the child of those who escaped real communism, I find it hard to use the label of communism, for example. Is neo-socialist the most accurate label we should be using for the things we're seeing in the last 6 weeks?
Yeah, I think neo is just a Greek prefix that means new, the new socialism. And by that, I think that unlike old socialists, for now, they're not trying to say that the government should appropriate the means of production or they should try to buy private companies. And the reason they don't is not because they don't want to.
Yeah.
they do with healthcare, but they feel that a Google or a Facebook or corporate America or the LA Lakers or whatever the private lever of influence is, they own it already, that the people are sort of zombie-like and have been flipped, almost like the invasion of the
right.
body snatch.
They don't need to. Mark Zuckerberg is already on side. Jeff yeah. Bezos is already on side. So why would they bother? But I think we might have found it, thanks to you, the new label that makes a lot of sense, the neo-socialist. He's Professor Victor Davis Hanson. Follow him right now at VD Hanson on Twitter. The book is The Case for Trump, amongst many, many, many others. Thank you, Professor. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, coming to you from the relieffactor.com. Studios, Relief Factor, drug-free pain relief that actually works. Just listen to Debron from Massachusetts. I just started taking Relief Factor 4 days ago. My hip pain is gone. I had a horrible time sleeping because of the pain, and I absolutely love how I am feeling. Thank you, Relief Factor. That should be you. Find out today if Relief Factor can liberate you from your daily pain like it has for tens of thousands of your fellow Americans. Go to relieffactor.com, order the 3-week quick starter pack for the paltry sum of $19.95. That translates to less than a dollar a day. It will be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know if it works for you like it works for me, Debron, and thousands of your fellow Americans. What are you waiting for? You know it makes sense. ReliefFactor.com, 800-500-8384. It's time you took the decision. There is nothing left if you have tried all the others. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com.
You're listening to America First with Dr. G.
What did I say in the monologue? Were you paying attention? Please, let's get serious. The GOP... I'm going to get angry. The GOP has just voted the nominee, Merrick Garland, for Biden's Attorney General, out of the Senate Judiciary Committee. And it wasn't really on party lines. Chuck Grassley, ranking member of the committee, as well as Lindsey Graham and John Cornyn and Tom Tillis, voted with the Democrats. Voted with the Democrats. The only individuals who didn't were Ben Sasse, yes, Mike Lee, Josh Hawley, and Tom Cotton, Ted Cruz, good old Marsha Blackburn, and John Kennedy. Why did any Republicans vote for Merrick Garland? We went through his testimony. Just a little reminder. Let's play video cut 23, Biden's nominee for Attorney General. Oh, we don't have it? I thought we had it. Eric, your future hangs on a thread. Mr. G, do we have it? We will have it. Let's go to a reinforcement of what he said at the time was, I can't answer about borders and about illegal immigration. Just now, in the White House, we have it. Play it, and then I'll talk about DHS.
Do you believe that illegal entry at America's border should remain a crime?
Well, I haven't thought about that question. I just haven't thought about that question. I think, the president has made clear that we are a country of with the borders and with a concern about national security. I don't know of a proposal to decriminalize but still make it unlawful to enter. I just don't know the answer to that question. I haven't thought about it.
He hasn't thought about whether crossing the border illegally is illegal. Now we have the confirmed Department of Homeland Security Secretary in the White House say the following to illegal immigrants. Quote, we are not saying don't come. We're saying don't come now because we will be able to deliver a safe and orderly process to them as quickly as possible. Is America paying attention? The Secretary of Homeland Security is saying, just come, don't come right now because, we're warming your slippers for you. It might take a few hours. This is how radical they have become. What are you doing about it? Are you making your voice heard? Are you getting politically engaged? Okay, I need to calm down. Let's have some good news. Let's go to Britta in Colorado, who called us last week on her way to CPAC, and I requested that she give us a report once she's back. Britta, tell me some good things about your experience in Florida.
Oh, thank you very much for taking my call. We had a fabulous time. It was a Trump rally all over again for 4 days. We really was. Spirits were high. Everybody was having a wonderful time. And when everybody knew right around 3:15, 3:20, when President Trump was in the building, everyone lost their minds. We were just exploding with energy, and he just really brought it home for us.
Let me ask you, when I go to CPAC, and I've been, last 5 or 6 years to every single one, it's a little rowdy, it's a little crazy. There's Americans from all across the country having a good time, no sour faces, apart from Abilio, because we know Jim Acosta was there. Was it as rowdy and as fun as it was when it's here in the swamp, Britta?
Oh, absolutely. No, actually, I would say even a little bit more because there's freedom down there. Everybody's free, with Florida being that way. And I even had a chance to go outside, and there was more than 3,000 Trump supporters outside with flags, with their music, going back and forth with their trucks and their cars and just sign waving and singing songs. And you saw so many different nationalities. All there. Since they couldn't get in because it was sold out, they were outside packing the sidewalks.
And how electric was it when President Trump got onto the stage?
like you said, everyone lost their minds. We've been so looking forward to it. We just got the straw poll right before he came on that, you know, 55%, he runs again, he'll get, you know, 55% of everybody there wanted him. And I think those points are really, no one's ever had those kind of numbers for him. You know, there was definitely some other great speakers. You know, you can't get away from Dan Bongino, no. Or Governor Kristi Noem. They did, you know, they did some great stuff. And then even when James O'Keefe brought on all these regular Americans that, like, blew the whistle on the things that they saw, it was five or six men, and their lives changed because of it. He hired them all because they're going to do more work, but they were regular people, and they were, you know, so happy that they were getting standing ovations, and everybody appreciates the work that they did.
Well, we have so many more cuts of President Trump's speech. If you haven't read it, you need to read it. You need to watch it. It's available online. We'll post the video. We'll post the transcript. Also, Dan Bongino, his speech, and especially a little segment of it. Well, he was on fire, and we're going to play you that as well. Thank you for the report, Britta. God bless you. Glad you are safe back home. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. More of your call, 33-GORKA, G-O-R-K-A. That's 833-334-6752. But first, I've got an important question for you. Did you do what your mommy told you to do today? Yes! I'm serious! Did you eat your vegetables? Did you eat the fruit you're supposed to eat? Are you as healthy as you could be? If not, if you were a little bit naughty, do what I do. Take Balance of Nature every single day. This ensures that you get all the nutrients your body needs. 6 little capsules, 3 red for fruit, 3 green for vegetables that provide you with 10 servings of 31 different fruits and vegetables, all the ones your mama wanted you to eat in just 6 little capsules. Be the healthiest you can be, thanks to Dr. Douglas Howard today. If you order and use my name at balanceofnature.com, Dr. Howard is going to give you 35% off and free shipping on your first preferred order. Call them, write the number down. It's super easy, but do it for me. 800-246-8751. That number, 800-246-8751, balanceofnature.com. It's as easy as that, but you've got to use the promo code G-O-R-K-A. Take it every single day. I call it health in your hand. And you will be the healthiest you can be. Don't wait any longer. Balanceofnature.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A.
When you see the hunger, when you see the need, thousands of people, the more we do, the more we see the need. The more places we go, the more we find people starving. The more we see children in Honduras, a pet in the States lives much better than people in the rural area in Honduras. And now not only in the rural area, but in the city because of the lack of work.
A pet in Honduras. A pet in America lives better than the children of Honduras, especially after the double whammy of Tropical Storm Eta and Hurricane Iota. Please, will you help them today with our great, great friends at Food for the Poor? That was Linda on the ground telling you how bad it is. Children should never, ever suffer wherever they are. If you're doing okay, will you help? Will you please help today? A donation of just $37 will feed a boy or a girl who is hungry today for 6 months. A donation of just $111 will feed a girl or boy for 6 months. You can save lives for just a few dollars. Please make a difference. It is the Lord's work. Please help them today. Just go to our website, sebgorka.com. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com, and click on the Give Food, Give Hope banner. If you prefer, you can call them at 855-330-HOPE. That's 855-330-4673. God bless every single one of you who helps them. Let's Let's go to your calls. Let's go to Jim in San Jose, line 3. Welcome, Jim.
Hi, Seb.
Hey.
I'm calling because...
You got to get off the speakerphone or we're going to drop this line. It's disrespectful, my friend.
I'm not on a speakerphone.
Well, you are either on a speakerphone or 6 foot away from your phone.
Okay, well, can you hear
That's
me now?
That's better. Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I'm calling because I think we should start the branding of Joe Biden and try to use what the rhetoric that they used against Trump, against him. And the reason I'm saying that is what happened when Trump was president. They called him Dictator Trump. And if you look at it, Joe Biden has generated many, many more executive orders than Trump did.
Well, absolutely. He has filled his own statement that if you govern by executive order, you're a dictator. Biden said that. But my question to you is, does it make any difference to Democrat voters if we call him a dictator or not?
I think it makes a difference to the undecided voter if they realize that they have voted in Dictator Biden and not President Biden. And I think we should never use president anymore. We should use dictator exclusively.
All right. I'm going to ponder that. I will give you one thing. We have to do a better job of branding. They understand branding. We are still amateurs, except for the president, President Trump. Oh, my. From little Marco, he knows how to do it. From crooked Hillary. Let's think hard about branding. Give us a call. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First.